But what kids need, if they're going to grow up and become like emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy adults, they need somebody to not just say, don't do that, but to say, hey, here's what you can do instead.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making Hestery. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. Katie, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
It's been a full day.
Yeah. You've had a very full day.
Mm-hmm. Wednesdays are cleaning days.
Yeah.
So I go and clean a house on Wednesday and bring the kids and just have a good old time. Which the kids, like, I feel like it could not be any better.
Yeah.
As far as like bringing kids to a job goes, like they just go and they play, which, you know, I clean your brother's house.
Yeah.
So brother-in-law's, and so they've got cousins who are around their age, and so they have toys that are fun for them there, and so it works out great because they can just go and play and they entertain themselves the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's need great. Almost nothing for me the whole time, which is really great. They just play, and when they're hungry or thirsty, they come and find me, but that's really it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great.
I forgot to tell you, total change of subject. So a few weeks ago, we talked about platypus.
Yes.
What's the plural of platypus?
Is it like octopus? Would it be like
platypi? I thought about that, but I hate that, so I don't want to say
so
that.
So another strikeout for
another reason
for a platypus.
Honestly, they're so weird.
They're so weird.
That, like, in the same way that it's probably my least favorite animal, it's almost my favorite animal because it's so weird.
Here we
it's
go.
Bizarre.
Like, I hate you and I love you. I hate you so much that I actually kind of
but also,
want to pick.
Like, you might be my favorite because you're so weird. So for anybody listening who didn't hear that conversation, I learned something about the platypus because in a little game I play, it was... I'm not even going to explain that any further. It was, the platypus was lumped in a category of like other stinging animals.
Yeah. Like so, jellyfish.
Jellyfish, wasps.
Yeah.
Scorpions.
The ones that we all know.
And yeah, then, the ones you know. And then platypus was in there. I was like, I don't understand that.
Wait, what? Yeah.
And so probably a month or two later, I finally get around to Googling.
Just pop back up in your brain. Just the daily pondering on the platypi.
And on their back feet, they do have little, like, I don't know if you'd call them like spurs or like sharp things as like a defense, like
okay.
You get behind me, I'm going to kick you. And they are venomous.
And their back feet, huh?
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been what I expected. I would have thought that maybe like in their little like bill that they're like have little teeth or something. But
I'm just picturing a platypus opening its little bill and having a bunch of like razor sharp teeth.
Tiny little teeth.
Okay.
Well, I just am because like ducks have teeth.
I guess.
But they're more just like little sharp bumps.
Yeah. I wouldn't call them teeth.
Probably. I feel like I can't stop doing this when I'm talking about it.
Okay. So there's another interesting fact.
Another reason to hate platypus.
Yeah.
Or love them.
Or love them. Maybe. I don't know. And did the girls do anything? Have they done anything funny this week?
Yes, actually. So today, on our way out the door,
I know what you're going to say.
Izzy, she's 4 now, so she can put on pretty much any shoe that she owns. Sandals, depending on like the buckle, can be tricky sometimes. But and so today she was putting on a specific pair of sandals that I know usually she has a little bit of a hard time because it has a little tiny metal thing that goes through the hole.
Like,
it's hard for anybody to do. I'm like, why would we put this
do
on
Velcro.
A child's shoes? Like, nobody needs this. Anyways, so she was sitting on the steps, like fidgeting with it, and it had been a minute. And so I was like, hey, like, Izzy, do you need some help? She was like, no. And I sat there. I was like, okay. And so I gave her another second and I was like, hey, like, Izzy, are you sure? And she goes, I just need to have a conversation. And I was like,
What?
Wait. About your shoes? And she was like, yeah. I was like, all right, have that conversation.
Do you think that was her way of saying like I can get it, but I might need you to like talk me through it? Or
I don't think so, because she didn't continue to ask questions. Yeah. Or
and did she eventually get them by herself?
And yeah, she just did it and figured it out, but I don't know where conversation came in at all. I feel like there have been quite a few times where she has said like a big word like that that's completely out of context.
Yeah.
That like makes absolutely no sense, but she knows exactly what she's talking about.
Right.
But I think she's just misplacing these bigger words, which is so cute.
Also, and I just remembered when I was helping Nora with her math the other day.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
So Nora is in second grade working on multiplication.
Yep.
And the problem she was figuring out was 4 times 4.
Mm-hmm.
I was helping her do like 4 + 4 + 4 + 4.
Yeah.
As just another way of thinking about it. And she got 4 + 4 = 8. She got 4 + 4 = 12. And I said, okay, Nora, I said, well, what's just one more. So what's 12 + 4?
Yeah.
And almost instantly.
Yeah.
Because Nora didn't know the answer. She would have had to kind of, you know, count her fingers or whatever. And I say, what's 12 + 4? And Izzy, just in her own world, at the table with us, I didn't even know she was paying attention. She just goes, 16. And we were all like,
wait. We all turned at each other like, what?
Why did you just say 16? Did you know that 12 + 4 somehow is 16? Was that just
wild?
What's bizarre is she's done that kind of thing multiple times.
Yeah, this is like maybe the third time that she has said
just like blurted
the correct
out
answer.
The correct
just,
answer.
She's there like playing with something, like just in the same room, but you know, you don't expect her to be listening to a math lesson, and she just spouts off the answer. It's like, wait, what? We're trying to figure out, like, is this like, are you operating in like words of knowledge here? Or are you just saying a random number and you just happen to be correct? Because, I mean, she only knows a few, you know. At least that she can count up to. I think she can count up to like 40 or 50. But like, but still out of that, like,
to blurt out without skipping a beat, to blurt out the right answer.
Yeah.
And
even funnier thing that I just realized about that is she usually skips 16 when she's counting.
You're right. She usually goes from 15 to 17.
Huh. That's so interesting. I don't know.
Okay. So we'll keep you guys updated on whether or not Izzy is some kind of math prodigy or
genius.
If she's just a crazy 4-year-old who just happens to blurt out the right answers.
Who knows?
Figure that out.
Yep. We'll keep her around when we're doing school. See if we can get some more of those out.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
So today's topic is inspired by some people that we've interacted with on Instagram. We had a video that has gone like pretty viral. And I think, I don't know what it's at, over 300,000 views.
Yeah.
And so with that, you just get a lot of engagement. You get a lot of comments. And this particular video was from, I want to say like 4, maybe 5, 6 episodes ago at this point. Yeah, because this is episode 38. So like 6 episodes ago. And we were in the little clip we posted. It was us talking about how love or how obedience is the product of love.
Yes.
Not the product of fear. Mm-hmm. That if all of your parenting tools are inspiring fear, then your kids are probably not obeying you. They're surviving you.
Right.
Because they're just afraid of you.
Yeah.
And how love is just a more excellent approach than fear in parenting. And there have been a lot of people who have jumped to the conclusion, and plenty of people have left comments, implying that because we teach that love-based obedience is better than fear-based compliance, that must mean that we don't discipline or that we're like extremely passive.
Right.
I mean, I can't tell you how many people have commented and been like, I'm so sick of this like weak, passive, like millennial parenting.
Yeah. And
we're like, like, okay.
Oh, gee.
My goodness.
So there's a lot of opinions that a lot of people really love to share really loudly.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, where'd you come from?
So this episode is inspired by just the seemingly, and I don't think, I trust not everybody thinks like this, but there's just been a lot of people who have jumped to the conclusion that because we prefer a love-based approach rather mm-hmm. than a fear-based approach, that must mean that we're very passive.
Right.
It must mean that we don't discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And it must mean that like our kids are very entitled.
Right. Yeah. We're raising
and
entitled brats
yes.
that just run our household and are ridiculous
Thankfully.
Human beings.
Thankfully, that's not like the majority of.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, we've had plenty of good comments yes. as well, but it's, enough on the other side
yeah.
to make us realize like, okay, maybe we need to talk about this a little bit more.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of people that don't think that like a love-based approach
mm-hmm.
to producing like well-behaved, obedient,
yeah.
responsive kids can produce that in kids. That
right.
you can only do that through like a very fear-based authoritarian approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to go ahead and just destroy that notion.
It's debunking time.
Yes. Mythbusters.
This episode is brought to you by Mythbusters.
It's not. So the title of this episode, Love is Patient, but it is not passive.
Mm-hmm.
The next couple episodes, we're going to talk about or identify a few traits or characteristics of love in contrast to maybe like counterfeit
sure. yeah.
versions of it.
Yeah.
So, and I think honestly, you could go through we could make a whole list of mm-hmm. things, more than we're going to cover in these episodes. But like I know in the past, you have taught on like the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And if you read Galatians 5, if you read the fruit of the Spirit in the Greek, fruit is definitely singular.
Mm-hmm.
So the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the other eight things that are listed after that are products of love.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So those other eight are products of love, or they are expressions of love, maybe.
Yeah. Things that flow from that place.
Yes.
Of love.
Mm-hmm. And absent of love, there is like a sort of like a counterfeit version of each of them.
Yeah. It's kind of like a distorted version of each that it's like,
yes.
because you're lacking in love, because you're not actually operating with this as the foundation,
mm-hmm.
then all of these other things are skewed
yes.
and misinterpreted.
Right.
Yeah.
And may sometimes look the same on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But is not actually the same.
Right. So, may have a different motivation, may actually have a different result.
Yes.
Yeah. All sorts of different things.
Yeah. So in the next episode or two, we're going to do one of the topics we're going to do is love is kind, not mm-hmm. nice.
Yeah.
And we'll just use this one for an example. I know we'll talk about this again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and love is kind. We also know that from 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm.
Love is patient, love is kind. But sometimes people confuse kind and nice.
Right.
And I think nice is the counterfeit version of kind.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be nice without loving.
Yeah.
Because nice can be very manipulative.
Absolutely.
Kind is love directed towards the good of others
yeah.
for their sake.
Mm-hmm.
But nice is often...
It's often backed with like I'm going to be nice to you so that I can get what I want.
For me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm doing this in order for my benefit or to my benefit rather than yours. Like, sure, you may benefit in the process, but actually this is all selfishly motivated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll talk about that
yeah.
in either the next episode or maybe in two episodes. But for today, let's get back to love is patient. It is not passive.
Not passive.
There are a couple Bible verses I want to read. This is Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not loathe his rebuke. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. And that is, there are similar verses throughout, even in the New Testament. In Hebrews 12, there's a very similar verse mm-hmm. that God disciplines
yeah.
the one that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
That means that loving our kids requires that we correct them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and discipline and disciple have the same roots.
Right.
So Jesus had disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus disciplined in that he corrected, he rebuked,
mm-hmm.
he also empowered,
yeah.
he equipped. And that's what it means to disciple. It's mm-hmm. to teach. It's all of those things.
Yeah.
And some of what we have bumped into with other people is, and we've talked about this 1,000 times, but a lot of people can't make the distinction between punishment and discipline.
Right, yeah.
Punishment has to do with fear, mm-hmm. or fear has to do with punishment, 1 John 4.
Yeah.
So if we're using fear in our parenting, then there's probably a lot of like yelling,
mm-hmm.
probably a lot of anger.
Right.
Not a lot of teaching, not a lot of equipping.
Yeah.
Not a lot of guiding.
Mm-hmm.
But what kids need, if they're going to grow up and become like emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy adults,
mm-hmm.
they need somebody to not just say, don't do that, but to say, hey, here's what you can do instead.
Yes. Yes. And to model that yes. as well. Like that's almost, well, I would say it's just as important as parents as what you're telling them is what you are also doing. Like yeah. if you're teaching your kid one thing, but you're acting completely contrary to what you're teaching them, what do you think they're actually going to end up doing? Probably what you're doing, not yeah. what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the, that phrase drives me nuts. Do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. But how come you get to do that?
Yeah.
And I don't get to do that. Like that's just setting up like a super unfair expectation for your kids. If you're expecting them to do something completely opposite or something yeah. that you're not even willing to do yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's the thing. Love, a parent who loves and disciplines their kids in love
mm-hmm.
are dedicated to becoming the thing that they want to see in their child.
Yes.
And I actually had thought recently of an example where I like totally failed at this. And then it wasn't even until later that I realized it.
Okay.
But I walked in the girls' room one day and Nora was trying to teach Izzy how to draw something. So they both had the drawing pads and they were right next to each other.
Yeah.
And Nora was, I think it was like a mouse from one of their books or something. Okay. And so Nora was like drawing like the big circle for the head and then the mm-hmm. ears. And she was getting mad at Izzy because Izzy couldn't do it right.
Sure.
And so I walked in the room and I was probably harsher than I needed to be, but I walked in. And I just told Nora, I was like, Nora, she's 4.
Yeah.
Like, do not get mad at her for yeah. not being able to draw circles as good as you. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know? And so I kind of got on to Nora, like, hey, like that's not helping anybody. You yeah. getting mad at Izzy for not being able mm-hmm. to draw circles. And then later that day, I realized, oh, but I wonder if Izzy not being able to draw circles as well as Nora is the same thing as Nora not being as good at teaching Izzy as I was at teaching Nora how to teach Izzy. Makes sense.
Whoa, that's crazy. Yeah.
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 So like Nora's 7,
mm-hmm.
she's frustrated with the 4-year-old who can't draw the circles, right?
Yeah.
And then dad comes in and dad is angry at the 7-year-old because the 7-year-old couldn't teach the 4-year-old as well as
yeah.
the dad could teach the 7-year-old.
Wow.
And so I realized in that moment, and what I realized is, oh man, this probably happens more than I realize.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
way
yeah.
more than I realize.
Right.
That I have an expectation for one of my kids to do something and I'm not even excelling in that.
Right.
In that moment.
Yeah.
And so here I am like yeah. expecting them to be better than I am.
Right.
And I think that happens a lot.
Right. That's talked about a lot that like wherever you are quick to jump, like to be frustrated and quick to anger are the areas that you may be struggling in still, whether you're aware of them or not. Mm-hmm. And so like when you see like if I see Nora doing something like say that I'm you in that situation, I see Nora getting frustrated with Izzy and then I'm like, hey, no, you shouldn't be getting frustrated with her. Like what? like, wah, and then I just jump and then I get frustrated and I'm like, oh no. And then like, that's me who's getting frustrated at you for being frustrated. But now I'm even more frustrated with myself because I'm frustrated at you being frustrated. And it's just like a whole mess. And I think that like, I think we do that all the time as parents because we see something, we see a flaw in ourselves coming through our kid and we want to save them from being like us and struggling in that area that we struggle in. And so we're so quick to be like, no, don't do that because, you know, it's well-intentioned that we want them to be better than we are. Of course, you know, like the saying, like we want our ceiling to be your floor. That's so true. And we do want that, but obviously there's better ways to go about it than like just getting mad at them for being like us.
Yeah. But just having that realization kind of opened my eyes. Like, okay, be on the lookout for the ways that I have higher expectations for the girls in their behavior than I am able or willing to exhibit myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. But love is patient. And those instances where we, our parenting becomes very harsh, very, I mean, impatient.
Yeah.
We're harsh, we're impatient, we're angry. Those kinds of parenting tools are not formed in love.
Right.
Because love is patient. Love is slow.
Yeah.
Love takes its time.
Yeah.
Love is willing to teach and equip, and it's willing to actually explain.
Yeah.
How to do something in a more excellent way.
Yeah, in that verse that you mentioned earlier that fear has to do with punishment, you can connect that even further to perfect love casting out fear.
Yeah.
And that can like just destroy any argument that, you know, I'm punishing out of love. It's like, no, you can't though. You can't do that because perfect love casts out fear. And if fear has to do with punishment, if you're trying to use fear, then love is not present. And punishment is rooted in fear. And so it's like, that's that you can't bring them together. And so you have to make that distinction that if I am punishing, I am not doing this out of love. I'm doing this out of fear.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting my way, or I'm seeing you do something that I'm still struggling with, and that makes me scared that you're going to turn out like me and have the same struggles that I do. And even if that like is like a real a good motivation, you know, that you want your kid to be better than you are, you still can't get that result from being fearful.
Yeah,
you have to get to that result by loving it out of your kid.
Yeah.
By loving that mistake that you see they're making out of them rather than trying to smack it out of them. And yeah, it all just circles back to that perfect love casts out fear. And so if you are actually operating in that perfect love, you will be operating in discipline rather than in punishment.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is I'm pretty sure perfect love casts out fear. It's just the second half of the verse.
Oh. That's hilarious. Well,
yeah. Well, it's all First
there
John.
There you go.
First John 4.
That's right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of good
stuff. There's so much good stuff in there.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am going to be more aware of the ways I approach their mistakes or their shortcomings with harshness and impatience. Yeah. And it can be easy to justify harsh and impatient and angry parenting when your goal is to make a quick behavioral fix.
Right.
And that's very like short-term thinking. But if you want to think long-term, if I'm thinking about who I want these kids to be when they're 18, when they're 25, when they're 35, then we're going to have to slow down our approach. And we're going to have to take not a passive approach, but a patient approach.
Yes.
And constantly be asking the question, okay, what do they need from me to be more excellent?
Yeah.
So we'll just use that example of Nora trying to teach Izzy how to draw.
Sure.
I think if I have the opportunity to approach that situation again, I'd like to think that I would coach Nora on how to coach Izzy.
Yeah.
Rather than getting angry at Nora for expecting too much of a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Because I was expecting too much of a 7-year-old.
Sure. Yeah. You know? Like, what 7-year-old knows how to like teach a 4-year-old how to draw?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think a more excellent approach on my end would have been to say, hey, Nora, Izzy's 4. She probably can't draw as well as you are wanting her to.
Yeah.
So maybe let's try and then fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Maybe slow down. Maybe help her. Maybe like help her with her hand draw the circles or, you know, find a different solution other than just mad.
Right. Just mad. I'm just annoyed. Just quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they're so, with parenting specifically, patience is often confused with that passivity, because I think a lot of times you can see, I don't want to be super controversial, but I'm going to be anyways.
Here we go.
Gentle parenting.
Yeah.
You see, like from the outside looking in, you could view a gentle parent like in its most dysfunctional form, say this, like as the most patient parent ever. Because their kid is over here doing whatever psycho crazy thing this kid has decided to do in the moment. And the parent is over here just totally at peace, like still in conversation with their buddy, you know, like, oh, please don't do that, you know, please don't do that. Oh, anyways, and then keep, please don't do that, you know, like,
yes,
that could be viewed as patience.
Yes, on the outside.
But. That actually is not patience. That's just being passive.
Yeah.
So like drawing a very distinct line between true patience and actually what is just being passive. Being patient, on the other hand, I think would look more like taking the time to, instead of just saying, please stop doing that, explain, hey, here's why I would like you to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Taking or using your patience as a tool to say, like, to your friend, if you're in conversation, like, hey, will you give me just a second, and actually intentionally have a conversation with your child.
Yeah.
Actually giving them the details and having the desire for connection rather than just pushing them off to the side and letting them do whatever they want because you don't want to hurt their feelings, you know, whatever it may be. And so I think passivity, I understand why people sometimes can view that as patience. But I hope that this episode is helping to make that distinction between like love actually being patient and not passive.
Yeah. And that's a good example, because when we go somewhere, especially to like somebody else's house, we communicate expectations. The kids, especially if it's like a newer place, a newer environment where they don't know. Because the thing about kids is it can be very, it can produce a lot of like anxiety for a kid to go to a new place where they don't know what's expected of them.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and a lot of times parents don't take the time to explain to kids, hey, here's where we're going. Here's what it's going to be like. Here's what we need from you.
Yeah. And but, if you know the, like their house rules or wherever you're going rules, like ahead of time, then like communicate that to your kids. And if not, then say like, hey, we need to like ask permission extra here, you know, even if it's, you know, like getting a drink of water, like ask first.
Yes.
If it's jumping on the couch, ask first.
Yeah. Or like if you're the parent, first of all, be aware of your kids.
Yes.
If you're in somebody else's house, if you're anywhere else. Be aware of your kids. Yeah. Don't be passive. Be aware of them. Be aware of what they're doing. And check in if you're wondering at all, like, is this okay?
Yeah.
So if we're going to somebody's house, we've never been to their house, and the girls are being crazy jumping on the couch.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to know, is this okay? Or would you prefer that I have them get off the couch?
Because
we have friends and they have rules like, well, kids don't jump on the couch.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
No, it's a great rule.
Fun. Yeah. Like that's not a rule at our house.
No.
Go nuts. Yeah. On the couches. But
enjoy.
Stand on them. But a lot of other people don't want kids jumping on their couches.
Yeah.
And I have absolutely no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're taking a very passive approach to parenting, we may not even be aware of what our kids are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that just to me feels, I think in some ways, maybe like, I don't know if dishonoring is the word, maybe dishonoring to like, like whoever's hosting us.
Oh, whoever, for sure.
Like I want to respect, you've had us over to your house. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I want to respect you and I want to respect your house and your expectations. So yeah. If you want us to take our shoes off, we'll all take our shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the kids to not jump on the couch, we won't jump on the couch.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to be an active parent and involved and you have to be willing to correct and teach and guide and help your kids understand these are the rules. And like you said, not just telling them what to do, but sometimes explaining why helps kids have value for the expectation.
Right.
Because I don't think kids always inherently have value for rules if they don't understand the why behind the rule.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think as adults, we don't necessarily have respect for the rules unless we understand why.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody said like, hey, don't paint your wall blue. You're like, well, why? And they're like, what's the reason? And if they had a good reason, I'm like, okay, sure. But if you don't have a good reason, now I want to paint my wall blue.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I think with kids too, especially with like that specific example, like your house rules, everybody's are going to be different than yours, you know, whether it's some of them are going to be similar, you know, but you can't expect a kid inherently, you know, like to know exactly what is expected at the other house without your help.
Yeah. So to wrap this up, loving your kids requires that we learn how to correct them.
Mm-hmm.
That we do learn how to rebuke them, but that we also are teaching them, that we are equipping them, that we're empowering them to become who it is that we are hoping that they will become.
Yeah.
And of course, all of that starts with us becoming that same very thing as much as we can.
Right.
So if you want to raise mature kids who make good decisions, get started.
Yep.
If you're not already
there. You're first.
Yes. If you want to raise kids who are patient with other people and who respond thoughtfully, then get started.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a kid who gets angry and hits and you don't like that, and your response as a parent is to get angry and hit them, you're just...
Do you hear it?
Right. I know. It sounds dumb when you say it out loud, but that's how so many people do it.
Yeah. We can't expect them to be something we're not.
Yeah.
And that is, you just can't because it's unfair.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we believe in being like, we're firm. I would say I'm very firm. I'm very direct. I definitely have like high expectations for the girls, but I'm also like actively working on thankfully my personality, my temperament maybe naturally lends itself to a more peaceful life and approach.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for
definitely.
That I'm just not like an angry person naturally.
Right. Yeah.
But I still can have angry responses.
Mm.
And I'm wildly aware that the way that I respond to their mistakes is only teaching them how they should view a correct response to a mistake, whether it's their own or other people's.
Right.
So how we approach their mistakes, are we approaching it with patience? Are we equipping ourselves with the ability to actually teach them and equip them to do it better next time?
Yeah.
Are we being very passive where we're not even disciplining? We're terrified of conflict, afraid to tell our kids no.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Right.
So these are just the things that we're thinking about.
Yep.
And hope this is helpful for somebody listening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's going to be it.
Sounds good.
If you are listening to this podcast on any platform, and if you have found any value in our content, if you could do us a huge favor and leave us a good review, that's a very small thing you can do that helps us in a very big way. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you could like this video and subscribe, that's also another very small thing you can do that helps in a really big way. But you good?
Good.
All right.
I think we about covered it.
I think so.
For
we'll be back next week with more. All right. Well, once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.